Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
312-981-7200. That's where you can also call to get all your nutrition questions in. The segment with Dawn Jackson Blattner, sponsored by Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating, the original healthy meal company. Dawn, as always, it is so good to talk to you.
Oh, my goodness. I was looking forward to this all week. I just finished my gym workout routine. I just finished my green smoothie. I am ready, energized for you and the listeners.
I just had the last quarter of a Long John. I swore I wouldn't eat and finish, and I've been sitting for the last hour. So now I shall stand up and get ready and move around a little bit. I want to ask you about prebiotics and probiotics, but I do want to start with one item you sent over to producer Pete. That item about hot food and satiety, or how full we feel. I feel like this is important information.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, everybody right now is talking about these like GLP-1 drugs. So that's glucagon-like peptide and for weight loss. And so that's the hormone that is making everybody feel full from these drugs. And I came across a study, and it's right, the headline, hot food temperatures increases your satiety hormones, which means that hot foods can make you feel more full than cold foods. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so interesting. And while I was reading this study, it was about lunchtime and I was going to make myself a salad. And I was like, you know what? This is the key, is like heating up something in your cold food. So like, I had chicken, so I heated the chicken up instead of putting it in my salad cold. Or if you put like quinoa in your salad and have like a bowl, heat that quinoa up and put it in your salad. Having something hot at your meal can make you more full. And then a lot of times people are coming to me and asking, you know, hey, you know, I've read all this stuff about naturally increasing your GLP-1, you know, because our body does make this fullness hormone naturally. Is there anything I can do to help me naturally, you know, activate it more so I feel more full naturally? And there is one other thing other than hot food, which is that new study I read. Also very well known is fiber. Fiber-rich foods are something that does support these hormones of GLP-1 and something else called peptide YY to make us feel more full naturally. So it actually goes to your question at the top of like prebiotics and probiotics, because fiber-rich foods are these prebiotic foods also that help feed those probiotics that are in our gut. So they're basically, you know, making our probiotics stronger because they're fueling them, those prebiotics, those fiber-rich foods.
I love that. So high fiber and heating up a hot meal, a healthy meal, makes you feel fuller, which is great news. You're kind of replicating what some of those shots do. Speaking of the fiber, I saw you on your Instagram feed, Dawn, you were having to get a little sweetness but also get some fiber. You were like sticking little chocolate chips in little raspberries. I thought that was such a great way to kind of get both.
You know what? Thank you for, first off, doing such a great, look over of my Instagram before we chatted. I appreciate that. You know what? I was doubting posting that because it is so simple that I was like, should I really post something like this? But you know what? It's really helping me out, in particular in the afternoon. It's sometimes after lunch, sometimes a little bit, you know, 3 o'clock area. You know, I am looking for something sweet. And I'm like, what could I have that would really make me actually feel, you know, somewhat full, but also I want it to be sweet. And I was like, well, raspberries, 1 cup has 8 grams of fiber. So incredible fiber source. And then I was like, but I mean, the fruit alone is just not going to do it. So then I just jammed some dark chocolate chips in the center of it. And I got to tell you, it hit the spot.
I liked it.
Even though it's simple, you know, I think it's effective because, you know, you don't have to clean a blender or do any recipe or anything like that.
I loved it. It became, the raspberry was essentially a chocolate chip cup, a vessel in which to get that in. It's small, so it's not too much. And then you get the fiber too. I loved it in its simplicity. Okay. Prebiotic, probiotic. I feel like this is a word that has now been said so much that I don't get, that now I feel embarrassed to ask, like I've almost missed the boat on this. Yep. Can you just please give me a little bit, just like I'm 10, what this stuff is this science proven that this helps your gut or whatever? Like, help me out.
Yeah, so let's even just back up and think about this. Why is everybody so gaga about gut health anyway? Like, when did this become such a big thing? And so what it is it's not just regularity anymore. So, you know, maybe 20 years ago, we used to care about gut health so that people stayed regular. And that is just not the case anymore. Now we're finding out that when somebody has gut health, good bacteria in their gut called probiotics, they're good bacteria, that we actually have a boosted immune system. Our brain is actually hooked to this, so we have better moods and better cognition, better focus, better memory. We have less likely to get chronic diseases when our gut health is intact. So it's a big deal because it actually is a big deal. So, yes, science does say that gut health should be our primary focus, really. I mean, this should be like a big deal. And so there's two words that you mentioned, and one is prebiotic, and the other one is probiotic, okay? So pre, it means before, right? Before. So that is how you think of it, is it's before, meaning it's the food, it's the fuel, it comes before even any of the bacteria. It's the food of the bacteria. So prebiotics are really in fiber-rich foods. And so that would be like the raspberries that we talked about. But it's any food that's a plant has fiber in it. So that's fruits and vegetables and whole grains and nuts and seeds and beans and lentils. All of these are fibrous foods that help feed the good bacteria in our gut. So they have prebiotic properties, all these fiber-rich foods. And then the probiotics, these are the either in our system, we already have these good bacteria in our system, but we also could add to them with probiotic foods. So probiotic foods are these fermented foods that would be like sauerkraut and kimchi and yogurt and kefir. They have good bugs in there that could add to the good bugs that are already in our gut, and that's a good thing too. And so you need these two things together. You need these fiber-rich foods to feed all of these yogurts and kefirs and sauerkrauts of the world in our gut.
Okay, yeah. So that delicate dance between these microorganisms inside of our gut ultimately lead to a healthy, balanced one that helps with well beyond just being regular. It helps with the idea of immune system and just the general flow of how our body should work. So then, obviously, the prebiotics seem a little easier. Just increase your fiber like a lot of us want to do anyways. The probiotics, yeah, I have the yogurt, but like I was at the grocery store and I'm like, I've heard of the word kombucha. I went ahead and bought one and tried it, but there was like clearly on the label, they're like not proven to, you know, whatever. So is this just like, I mean, I know it's science, but like, is it just that these supplements sometimes they can't guarantee some sort of health magic bullet? Like, do you subscribe to the buy a kombucha and sip on that every now and then, stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah, so you're absolutely right. By law, for somebody to call something a probiotic on a label, to say this is a probiotic, it has to be a specific strain and species, and it has to have a specific research study or multiple that says, yes, there is proven benefit in a human being of this specific bug. And so in these fermented foods, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know. They've been around for a billion years and I don't know exactly what's in them. And I'm not really sure that I can label that by law a probiotic, but I can tell you that it's a fermented food. And there is plenty of research that says, even if it's not labeled a probiotic officially by law, these fermented foods do in fact have benefit in our gut. And so you're right. There's not that many fermented foods that we eat to make this easy. So kombucha is one, but you know, some of these kombuchas are pretty high in added sugar. So right. You really have to be conscientious about that. So, hey, I like that as maybe, you know, a wine swap for somebody in the evening, but not like, hey, I'm going to guzzle these down as my source of probiotics or as my source of fermented food. So, hey, maybe you could check off, you know, that half of a bottle a day. Okay. Yogurt is exactly what you said. Kefir is actually a cousin of yogurt. It's the drinkable version of yogurt with even more of the fermented good bacteria that yogurt has. So if you're somebody who is like, you know what, I'd like to try kefir, why you would is because it has even more of these good bacteria in it. And then I got to say, one of the things that I don't think a lot of people do, but it is actually delicious and easier than you would think, is sauerkraut. Sauerkraut is a fermented food, and really, I do like a shot glass of sauerkraut on the side of lunch. So it's like take a shot of kraut on the side of lunch, or put it in your salad. And you know what? It's delicious. It's you know, sour. It refreshes your palate, and it's giving you that dose of fermented food.
This all makes sense to me. I imagine if someone's listening, they go, "Okay, I'm going to try and up my prebiotic, probiotic." Would you recommend baby steps, not just jumping right in, both feet into the pool?
Yeah, you know, we talked about last week, and I just think it is such an important lesson, is any time that you are playing around with fiber, not only do you want to increase how much water that you are drinking with it, because they work together so that you don't actually just feel stopped up, but your gut needs some time to acclimate. It can't all of a sudden take on an extra 20 grams of fiber if you've been eating 8 a day. So you just have to ramp it up slowly so that all the bugs that are already in there can just, you know, feast naturally and start getting used to a little bit more fiber. And then the next week you can increase it a little bit more. And then you won't have a stomach ache from this.
Okay. Dawn Jackson Blattner here on WGN, author, registered dietetic nutrition. Nope. Dietitian nutritionist. Nope. Am I getting that right, Dawn? Remind me one more time.
Yeah. Yeah. That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Dietitian nutritionist. Got it. You can email her or visit her website, dawnjacksonblattner.com, at DJ Blattner on Instagram, where I saw the raspberries and the chocolate chips. You ready for some questions, Dawn?
I would love it.
Let's go to Eduardo. Eduardo, you're on WGN. Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Dawn and John. Want to gain some weight. What are your recommendations for that? I have salmon, beans, vegetables, but just wanted to see what you thought about eating more better as far as that,
to gain weight,
not a lot.
Yeah, what do you think, Dawn?
Yeah.
Yeah, so here's the scoop. Is everything that I teach people on how to lose weight, I end up doing the opposite for gaining weight. So how do I do this? A lot of make sure you never skip a meal and make sure you snack a lot on things like nuts and dried fruit. Those are very healthy, but high in calories. Making sure you have olive oil to every vegetable that you would have, every salad, because just one tablespoon of olive oil is 100 calories. So if all you were to do is make sure that you're eating your three meals a day and never skipping, adding snacks that are high in calories but still healthy for you, like nuts and dried fruit, and having olive oil on everything, that is a great first step on increasing calories, which increases weight. Now, for some people, if that they do that and they say, oh, you know, I'm starting to see good results, I'd like to gain a little bit more, then usually it's before bed we do some kind of like protein shake it can be upwards of 500 to 1,000 calories before bed, with things you know, like milk, protein powder, spinach, berries, coconut oil, nut butters, almond butters, and so you can get a high calorie but also very nutritious foods. So that is, I would say, you know, a great first step. And then, you know, there's fine tuning and tweaking you could do.
Eduardo, you can have some of mine if you want it.
Yeah, I just need to be careful because I do the plasma. That's where you donate blood.
Ah.
So, yeah, that's why I told you about those foods at the beginning, because your protein, your temperature, your blood pressure has to be right for you to donate blood.
Wow, okay. Well, that's...
Yeah.
I love
okay,
that.
Thank you very much, John.
You're welcome. And yeah, you to gain weight, you can do that with very healthy foods. A lot of times people do make the mistake of trying to eat. They say, oh my gosh, I'm trying to gain weight. So they think, oh, donuts and pizza and, you know, hamburgers and all these things. And, you know, although those can be part of a healthy diet, that's not, you know, what you focus on to gain weight. It's those other healthier foods. And actually giving blood is not only good for others. It's actually very good for our own health. So, you know, good job for him.
Props. By the way, adding olive oil was an option for gaining weight, and now I'm subtly worried, as someone who's trying to lose a little bit, that I'm using too much olive oil while cooking vegetables and stuff. I imagine the inverse of that is watch your olive oil in cooking if you're trying to lose weight.
Yeah, hey, John, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is, you know, most of us are in the boat of paying attention to not gaining weight. And so doing the opposite of those things, like, you know, not having high calorie snacks, but instead of dried fruit, having fresh fruit, not having unlimited nuts, paying attention to that, not having unlimited olive oil, paying attention to that, not eating before bed, you know, all of those types of things is, yes, you're absolutely right. And you can still do it all. It's just is less.
Yeah, I need to reevaluate everything. 100 calories
no.
for tablespoon? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I'm doing way better with the vegetables, but I am maybe cooking them in the wrong ways. So we'll talk offline about my issues. Let's get to Joel, who has a question. Joel, what do you have?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I use 7 to 10 medium-sized shrimp in my salad for the protein, and along with the can of sardines and some garbanzo beans, I hit the 30 grams of protein that Dawn recommends. My question is the shrimp, because of the cholesterol, bad for me?
Ooh, good question.
Okay, so cholesterol in food, like in eggs and shrimp, is not the main driver of cholesterol levels that you get tested at your doctor. So that's not connected. Even though it used to be, we thought that was true. Now we know that saturated fat, that bad fat, is more likely to increase cholesterol levels. So with that said, it's having eggs and having shrimp as part of your regular routine is totally healthy. However, if this is an everyday thing, there really needs to be variety in protein sources just for nutrients, not even just the cholesterol alone. So the idea is, no, it won't. If you're doing it, you know, a couple of times a week, if you're doing it every day, it's time to switch it up. I do want to give extra credit, though, for the sardines. You guys, this is huge. Omega-3 fatty acids, these are the good fats we really need in our diet for helping triglyceride levels and for helping our heart health in general. And sardines are loaded with these good fats. Sardines are fatty little fish. They're so easy to have in your cabinet. And so I'll tell you what, A-plus for the sardines.
All right, good stuff, Joel. Thanks for the question,
you.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, great stuff. Don, we've been trying to make like pork loin instead of just always chicken breast because we're getting sick of it for dinner. Like one of those pork loins that you just buy at the grocery store that isn't too seasoned with too much sugars. I read that you can now cook those instead of 155 to 145, which I did last night. It made such a difference not drying it out. I don't know if you've read that about pork, whether they've changed the temperature or not. I guess I don't want to put you on the spot here. But, boy, sometimes just monitoring that chicken temperature or the temperature you cook at is important.
I cannot thank you enough for bringing this up. I do everything with the thermometer. I just actually made ground turkey meatballs the other day. Have my thermometer out measuring. And I'm not measuring just to make sure that I've hit high enough. I'm doing what you're doing, is I'm trying not to get too high so the meat is super dry. And so when you're choosing leaner things like ground turkey or leaner pork, which, you know, is a red meat, but you can get lean versions, and that's great. Always use a thermometer. So not only are you cooking it safely, you're not overcooking it so it tastes like garbage. So good thermometer. And you know what? They have those rapid read ones now that you can do it in 2 milliseconds. It's just so good.
Oh, yeah. They're really great. 773, can I eat a can of beans for lunch to meet my 20 grams of protein? And this is like right from my heart. I'm like, how much do I need? Here's one meal, up a can of beans, we're done. And I don't think that's probably the best way to do it, but you let me know. And the 773, who I swear is not me texting the line, Dawn.
Well, first of all, I enjoy, somebody knows that beans are one of the quickest, best ways to get fiber because they really are loaded with fiber. But getting all your fiber at one meal and all of your fiber from one food is not ideal. Ideally, you're looking to spread your fiber through the day so that you're getting the benefits of fullness and all the feeding of your good bacteria in your gut and everything at the morning time, in the afternoon time, in the evening. So you're splitting up your fiber to get that benefit. And you're getting it from foods, yes, beans, but also whole grains, nuts, seeds, fruits, vegetables, so that you are adding up to that target of about 30 grams a day, but spread out. You know, would I ever discourage someone from enjoying, you know, their beans? No. But a can is about a cup and a half. And for most people who aren't used to eating a whole cup and a half at a time, that could give them some GI distress. So, you know, you're better off, you know, probably just spreading it out through the day just for feeling even better.
I feel like beans is an answer to 80% of the questions that are asked here, Dawn, including maybe this next one, Can you ask Dawn what are some examples of foods that are low or no gluten but high in fiber? I'm struggling to meet both those goals.
Yes. So the biggest thing is, you know, gluten is in grains. Oats are actually naturally gluten-free, but there's some crossover. So you if somebody's very sensitive, you have to buy gluten-free oats. But like oats would be a great example. Gluten-free, if you buy them gluten-free, is a grain. But otherwise, pretty much everything else has fiber without gluten. So that's black beans, edamame, lentils, pinto beans, raspberries, avocado. Is half of an avocado is 7 grams of fiber.
Oh, wow.
Chickpeas, jicama. I don't know if you're buying jicama, but a cup of jicama has 6 grams of fiber and it's so crunchy and juicy. Pears, a pear has 6 grams of fiber. Chia seeds, 1 tablespoon is somewhere in the ballpark of like 5 grams of fiber for chia seeds to sprinkle it in your cereal in the morning. Almonds, apples, popcorn is gluten-free, and it has about 4 grams of fiber for 3 cups. Even dark chocolate actually has some fiber. Prunes, broccoli, cauliflower. So almost everything, you know, we're talking about fruits, vegetables, all these beans, and many of the grains, even like quinoa and oats, are gluten-free. So it's easy to do to get your fiber, even if you are following a more gluten-free lifestyle.
Love that. Dawn Jackson-Blattner, it is always great to chat with you. You're a delightful person and personality with great information, too. You're an author, a registered dietitian, nutritionist, DawnJacksonBlattner.com. You'll have the other John next week, the real John, the King John. It's been great to chat with you the last two Thursdays, though, Dawn. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Bye, John.
I love that. All right, Dawn's the best.